places, everyone.
We're now broadcasting.
Roll the tape in. 3, 2.
A new audio drama.
Appaloosa Radio is where stories come alive.
Luscious Lell by the ever lovely lake.
Luscious Lell by the ever lovely lake. Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Luscious Lell by the ever lovely lake.
Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Luscious Lell by the ever lovely lake. Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Within the world of espionage, they often call it a honey trap. A sweet opportunity to trap an individual, to compromise them, to procure information, to elicit ongoing cooperation. The enticements often include sex, drugs, special status, and money. Once an individual falls into the honey trap, they are particularly vulnerable to blackmail, extortion, and exploitation. In the posh international resort city of Lell, which hosts guests from a million different sectors, there were many such honey traps. All the major, and many of the not-so-major, powers operated them. In a place where the principal occupation was gathering, acquiring, stealing, confirming and falsifying information, honey traps were essential enterprises. They came in all sizes, and varied greatly in quality of their surroundings, and, especially, in the seduction skills of the clandestine agents operating it. Brutish dive bars operated by low-level goons. All the way up, to the luxury suites, with all of the accoutrements of fine living, operated by very sophisticated and well-trained moznos. While there were many such honey traps, there was one of singular brilliance, one that featured opulence beyond imagination, one with its own unique crystalline pavilion displaying unparalleled views of the magnificent lake of many colors, where only individuals of the greatest significance were personally invited. The Avonmont de la Soiree, which was hosted by the noblewoman, Bronwyn de Solox, the cousin of noble son Dushko Verko, the second son of the 19th great nobleman of Sasko. Every other night, the noblewoman would open her crystalline pavilion to a group of specially invited, international guests. Then, late in the next morning, she would close it. Of course, on Lel's designated official day of rest, every 10th day, like every operation in the city, she would keep the pavilion closed. Otherwise, she operated it with precision, wit, and her special talent for making guests feel at ease. Like the other honey traps, noblewoman Bronwyn staffed her pavilion with Koopsie girls, artificial creations of exquisite beauty, whose sole purpose was to bring pleasure. But, unlike many of the others, she also added Koopsie boys, for those who were so inclined. She also provided delicacies of an infinite variety and quality. Nowhere in the quadrant could one find such meals. The best of the very best. Indulge yourself. Eat well. Sample the most delicious fare from over the known universe. Unlike the other operations, the Evenement de la Soirée, hosted by the noblewoman, Bronwyn de Solox, provided live music from the most acclaimed performers. Many patrons came to the pavilion to listen to their favorite musicians playing in an intimate and acoustically perfect venue. Pure musical enchantment. Everyone knew that Lel, the posh resort city by the lake of many colors, offered every recreational opportunity, drug, potion, or experience to its guests, but unfortunately, for some, the price of a delivery to one's luxury suite could be very expensive. However, if you were invited to an evening at the noblewoman's crystalline pavilion, everything was provided free. And, everything was always of the very highest quality. Finally, noblewoman Bronwyn provided what she called the games. Many centuries ago, Lel had banned gladiatorial combat events, but the noblewoman had found a way around this ban. She used gladiatorial robots who fought to their death in her specially constructed, underground arena. Since they were not human, the ban did not apply. Also, since the games occurred within a private entity whose entry was tightly controlled, no city inspector ever bothered to check things out. Of course, the bribes also worked wonders.
Luscious Lel by the ever lovely lake.
Luscious Lel by the ever lovely lake. Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Luscious Lel by the ever lovely lake.
Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Luscious Lel by the ever lovely lake. Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
from the continuing City of 4000 Spies series. An original story by Appaloosa Radio. Sauced.
Guests are arriving for an evening of pleasure at the Crystalline Pavilion, operated by the noble Lady Bronwyn of Sasco. Her principal Mosnos, Ariana Jo Lynn, warmly greets the invited guests as they arrive.
Welcome. Glad you could join us. Please enjoy yourself. Welcome back. Always good to see our old friends. Enjoy your evening. Welcome. Glad you could join us.
Noble Lady Bronwyn, we have just been joined by a high-ranking military official from the Empire Shayote.
Show me on the monitors. Yes. He is from the Emperor's Supreme Military Council. I do not recognize the rank. PNB7Q, please identify this individual.
That is Supreme Vice Commander for Infantry Operations, Yozen.Bat.Batulzum. He is the third highest ranking member of the Emperor's Supreme Military Council.
Do we have any intelligence data on him?
Negative. We only know what is publicly available. No personal data is obtainable.
Then, why has he come here? Surely his intelligence professionals have warned him about what kind of operation our pavilion is.
Noble Lady, we have an answer to your query. He has gone down to the arena where he has placed a large wager on one of the mortal battle bouts.
So, he appears to be a gambler. I am here with ordering all agents to stay away from the Supreme Vice Commander. Do not approach. Do not elicit contact. Stay back. We will watch.
Noble son, I am sorry to awaken you, but I have terrible news.
I am now fully awake. Please continue.
The Empire Shayote has issued an evocation of war against Sasco.
What? How could that be?
It is in response to the murder of Supreme Vice Commander for Infantry Operations, Yozen Bat Batulzum.
To my knowledge, we have never had any contact with him. He is one of the old guard warriors who disavows all contact with foreigners.
Nevertheless, he was murdered in the crystalline pavilion that Noble Lady Bronwyn operates.
PNB7Q, this is most puzzling. I spoke with Bronwyn earlier this evening, and everything was nominal. No mention of a high-ranking military officer from the Empire Shayote. Please contact my cousin.
Unfortunately, I cannot. She has been arrested by the local police on Lel.
I need to get there as soon as possible. Please arrange emergency transportation, highest level clearance. And, awaken my father. Tell him that we are about to go to war.
Also, unfortunately, he has already been informed by the principal ambassador from the Empire Shayote.
Sasko was no match for the immense military of the Empire Shayote. Sasko had survived by carefully acting as a neutral among the two great powers, the Kingdom JG and Empire Shayote. Now, this murder, an unspeakable action in an operation under Sasko's clandestine control, risked everything. Ruko knew they would not survive as an independent dominion. Traveling with him on his team were a criminal forensic scientist, and the subcommander of the Sasko Special Operations Force, and a communications specialist, to ensure that he could speak with various authorities without being spied upon. A small team. One designed for cooperation. Designed for fact-finding. Not one with antagonistic intentions.
Thank you, Police Commissioner. Madam Rashan, for allowing my team access to the pavilion facilities. As I shared, I believe the security monitors will greatly assist in your investigation. PNB7Q. Activate the internal monitoring systems. Please display the Supreme Vice Commander and his entourage as they enter the facility.
We have images of the Supreme Vice Commander, but none of an entourage. He appears to have entered alone.
Alone? I have never known members of the Emperor's Supreme Military Council to travel alone. There always are drivers, security personnel, and multiple adjuncts.
I have performed a search of all proximal security systems. He did not have an entourage. There was no driver waiting for him. No adjuncts. No apparent protection personnel.
PNB7Q, please confirm that members of the Supreme Vice Commander entourage were not in the immediate neighborhood, either camouflaged or cloaked.
I have searched the neighborhood security systems operated by the city of Lel. No evidence of any such individuals.
PNB7Q, please show his entry into the pavilion. Who greets him as he enters?
He is greeted by Principal Masno, Ariana Jo Lin. I have recordings of her greeting which I'll play.
Welcome, Senior Officer. Have you been to the pavilion before? If not, I will be happy to show you all of its many offerings.
Thank you, but that won't be necessary. I'll find my own way.
The view of the Lake of Many Colors is unequaled. It is, I believe, a most magical place. If there is anything you need or want, I'll be glad to assist.
I note that the Supreme Vice Commander makes no reply to her offer.
Where does he go next?
Unsure. He seems to have been wearing a portable cloaking device. Nearly an hour later, we have images of him in the arena, placing wagers on the gladiatorial combats.
I assume that he switched off the cloaking device to make his wagers.
That appears to be so.
So, he enters alone, wearing a portable cloaking device. I have no doubt that he knew what the pavilion was used for and who operated it. His actions appear very intentional. Do we have images of him while he is in the arena area?
He is wearing an old-style cloaking device. A portable one that the Empire developed for limited use in special situations. Notice that with our high-intensity, multi-beam tracking cameras, we can locate him from above. See, he has taken a seat in the third row, on the blue side. There is no one around him. Just this one person, two rows down to the military officer's left. I find no interactions between the spectator and the Supreme Vice Commander.
BNB7Q. Lise move ahead to when the two Koopsie girls approach him. See, he seems to be speaking to them. At this point, is he cloaked or uncloaked?
He appears uncloaked.
PNB7Q, please tell us what he is saying to them.
He speaks to them in Yot, his native language. Yot is a complex language. It has different cases that are used in different settings and by who is speaking and to whom they are addressing. Here, he does not use the most formal case of the language. In the military, this most formal case is used to address officers of the highest rank. And, I note, nor does use the semi-formal case. That is the case that children use to speak to their parents and older relatives. No, he uses a very informal, more casual case. It is an everyday use of the language, like when you are buying fruits at the market. For example, if two of the vine ripened purple ones. In the most formal case, it would go something like, "Most honored and highly esteemed, senior officer of the military council, I wish to report the results of my mission." Not that one. Nor did he use the one that runs, "Dear beloved and revered father, I have successfully completed my course of study at the Military Tactics College." He uses the most casual, the least formal. Again, like buying fruits in the market. No specific terms of respect or rank.
Thanks for the extended analysis. But, what did he actually say?
He orders a drink. A foaming drink that is a speciality of the house.
A foaming drink that is a speciality of the house. See, they are bringing it to him in a silver metal canister. Very frothy. Appears to be a purple-pink bubbling foam. They lift the lid. Whoa. Whoa. It looks like they spilled it on him.
Looks to me like we just witnessed a murder.
Yes. I agree, Commissioner Rashan. The Supreme Vice Commander has been sauced by the two Koopsie girls.
The poison is obviously airborne. It acts very quickly. The Supreme Vice Commander is dead within 90 seconds. Police Commissioner, have you examined it? Do you know what the poison is?
I am sorry, but the matter is now within the courts. They have taken possession of the metal canister. I can answer no further questions about it.
Later, at police headquarters, Rareko joins the police commissioner, Madame Rashan, in interviewing Principal Mosno, Ariana Jolin.
Tell me, young lady, who hired these two Koopsie girls?
I don't know. They are not among the Koopsie girls that I supervised. And, Commissioner, I was responsible for hiring and for assigning all of the Koopsie girls and guys.
PNB7Q, Were you able to obtain an image of the badges of these Kupsi girls?
I read Netanya 1, twin, and Netanya 2, twin.
We did not have any Kupsi girl twins working at the pavilion.
PNB7Q, search the records for the identification numbers of the Kupsi girls in question.
I have no record of any identification numbers for the subjects in question. The pavilion had hundreds of sensors, so the management would always know where each Kupsi was and what activities they were engaged in. I have no record from any sensor that Netanya 1, twin, or Netanya 2, twin registered a presence within the pavilion. It is my conclusion that they were not in fact Kupsi people. I believe they were human agents posing as Kupsi.
Human agents who used an impersonation to commit a murder.
An interesting theory, but still one without a factual basis.
PNB7Q, did the Kupsi twins enter the pavilion through the badging gateway?
Available records indicate that yes, they did enter through the badging gateway.
Who authorized their badges?
Kerencia I, the arena's general manager.
Attention all officers. Immediate arrest ordered for LEL resident local. Kerencia I, Pontelo Street, number 379. We're pretty good at what we do. Should have results fairly quickly. Yes. Immediate arrest. Oh. When? Where? Investigate fully and report back. Unfortunately, Kerencia I has been found murdered. Body was concealed in a culvert. Their investigation shows that he was probably just entering his dwelling. My officers estimate the event occurred about an hour after the Supreme Vice Commander's murder.
Noble son, Dushko Rako gathered his investigative team in a secure location and began a full debrief.
Is this location secure? Can we speak frankly?
I assure you that this is a secure environment. No one will be able to listen to our conversation.
Excellent. I believe time is short, and I do not fully trust the local city police to discover what must be discovered. Nonetheless, I wish to know everything that is going on within the police facility. I want a record of every conversation. I want to know who knows what. Which theories and suppositions are guiding their investigation. And I want that information immediately. Do you understand?
I understand completely.
And I'll assist in any ways that I can. I believe that I can penetrate the facility without being detected.
Excellent. Time is critical. You must get me what I need very quickly. I emphasize very quickly. Now, what are your thoughts about the poison that was used?
An airborne poison which acts quickly. Maybe be specially tailored for the Shah Yote male physiology.
Where is its source?
Probably over 200 possible sources. Depends on the propellant and the chemical makeup of the poison. I believe the colors we saw were just to hide the spray. Probably colorless. Maybe also odorless.
Have to narrow it down. I need to know who. While you are in the police facility, also get me a sample of the poison. Large enough to analyze but small enough so they won't know that it has been taken. Again, quick action is essential. Sasko's future as an independent dominion rests on our endeavors. PNB7Q, I have been staring at the Koopsie twins. I think we have seen them before. I believe they are professional agents who have been brilliantly disguised.
Koopsie girls come in a variety of sizes, configurations, and personalities. They are artificially designed to elicit pleasure. They differ as their intended targets differ.
Yes, but what specifically makes them attractive to their targets?
I have found a treatise on the topic. This research says it is a combination of three factors: 1, voice; 2, posture; and 3, aroma.
Listen again carefully to the voice of the twin Koopsie girls who murdered the Supreme Vice Commander. What do you hear?
I hear the chirp that all Koopsie people produce. It is very high, well above the range of hearing of most species. Still, it activates certain desires.
Yes. Exactly. You know what I also hear. Twin Natanya 1 speaks to him. What language does she use?
Yote. The semi-formal form of the language. Very clear. Respectful tone. As if speaking to a parent or an older relative. Also used by junior military officers when speaking to a more senior officer.
So, she speaks to him as if she was a junior officer speaking to a more superior officer. But he speaks to her without any of the many forms of deferential respect, like when someone is buying fruits from a vendor in the market. Give me those. Not most honored and revered fruit vendor, please be so kind as to give me a pair of those. Clearly reflecting that he was in fact of the higher rank.
I see your point. Neither use the formal version of the language. That would not have been appropriate in the setting.
But still protocol must be observed. She speaks in the semi-formal version.
Respecting him.
Obviously, reflecting his higher rank.
Very perceptive. She knows his rank and he knows her rank. They may not personally know each other, but they completely understand the rank of the other, and their speech reflects that knowledge.
Appearances can be disguised. Posture can be affected. Aroma can be synthesized. However, in this context, the subtleties of language cannot be altered. PNB7Q, we have our first certainty in this puzzling situation. The so-called twin Koopsie girls, Natanya 1 and Natanya 2, are in fact professional intelligence agents of the Empire Shayote. PNB7Q, search through the records of all known agents of the Empire. I'll wager 1,000 quid that we'll find a match there. Make that 5,000 quid.
No need for a wager. I'll settle for a well done.
Noble son, I can report that we successfully penetrated the city of Lel's police headquarters and we were able to install a variety of listening devices. Strangely, on Lel, the local police do not seem to use technology. I had anticipated that the facility would be brimming with all the latest stuff. Instead, we found none. Officers have personal communicators, but that is it.
I had especially anticipated finding anti-bugging, signal obstruction equipment. Maybe also various speech cloaking devices. But there were none. It was a police force that was bereft of technology.
An interesting finding, especially since so many covert agents come to Lel bringing the most sophisticated technology, attempting to acquire all of the information that they can. Surely, they have some countermeasures to protect their internal communication.
They speak with each other in a very ancient form of their native language. One that my sequential translators cannot decipher.
An effective, low-tech solution. PNB7Q, please take a crack at it. Can you decipher their conversations?
A most interesting problem. Appears to be a tonal language. I perceive 7 different tonal ranges. Working on it. Maybe the silences carry meaning. Yes. That's it. I believe that I can now translate the recordings that have been made. Certainty rising. Now 99%. Now complete.
A fantastic piece of work. And it only took 97 hectoseconds.
Please play the newly translated recordings. That was a long time. Many hours of information. If we ever had any doubts about the complete corruption of Lel's municipal police, most certainly, they are now gone. I heard several discussions about taking and sharing bribes. Please excuse a sardonic comment. I think they avoid using current technology because if they did, then they would have to actually do real police work. Let's review. What did we hear on the translated tapes that might give us some actionable information?
Noble son, I note that all the municipal authorities, including the police commissioner, seem very afraid of provoking the Empire Shah Yot. That is why they arrested noblewoman, Bronwyn de Solux. They have no evidence of her involvement. Nonetheless, they arrested her to placate the Empire's authorities. I sense that intelligence operatives from the Empire have an important role in this supposed investigation.
Noble son, we learned that the spectator we saw sitting a few rows from the Supreme Vice Commander was in fact a police informant, a police spy, one who came to the Crystal Pavilion frequently and who carries information back to the police. We also know that even before the official alarm was sounded, the informant had conveyed the situation to his superiors.
That is why the police commissioner did not seem surprised when she saw the murder. She already knew all of the details.
We also now know the exact location of the canister with the poison. And we know that the police authorities intend to hand it to the Empire Shaoyot for their analysis, since the city of Lao does not have sufficient capacity to perform its own chemical analysis.
Finally, and most importantly, we know with whom the police authorities are communicating about the progress of the case. Superior Colonel General Bitwala Sabone, the Supreme Vice Commander's most senior, personal adjunct.
Noble son, I will organize a clandestine retrieval of a sample of the poison. If all goes well, we will have it in a couple of hours.
May I recommend using the new JT-65 personal cloaking system? While it is still experimental, it is far superior to any other that is available. I took the liberty of having it on hand for our use here in the city of Lel.
Excellent. After you have retrieved a sample of the poison, I think we should invite the Superior Colonel General to a most delightful afternoon's entertainment in the box. Our own very special box.
Of course, it was a typical Rurko joke. The box was not an opportunity for entertainment. It was a bit of technology that Sasuke had perfected from a very ancient design. The box displayed the contents of an individual's consciousness. It showed what was being thought about. A precise and explicit display of a subject's conscious thoughts. An ultimate truth machine, as it were. Not painful. Not torture. Not a mind probe. Just an unequivocal display of actual thoughts. No other power had such a device, and Sasuke kept it secret. Conveniently for Rurko's present purposes, there was already an operational box on Lel. It had been a necessary addition to the information-gathering activities of the Crystalline Pavilion. Now, all that was necessary was to kidnap Superior Colonel General Bitwala Sabone, a high-ranking and militarily skilled officer of the Empire Shaoyot, and then place him in the box. Obtaining a sample of the poison proved to be a relatively straightforward operation. PNB7Q had been correct. The new JT-65 system worked superbly. It not only cloaked visual images, every system does that, but it also muffles sounds and eradicates odors. Most importantly, it neutralized all of the wave pulsations from every spectra, keeping the monitoring systems from registering the presence of the intruder. The only slight problem that arose was that the JT-65 had to be switched off for a brief time while the protective outerwear was mounted. However, the team had practiced doing it and were able to perform the change very quickly. As a neutral dominion which had to always balance the two major military powers, Sasuke had come to use innovation as one of its key defense weapons. In and out with precision. Exactly as ordered.
Time. Oh, venomous concoction. To find who you really are.
First, run the tests against all known poisons used by the Kingdom Jeji.
Poison is not really the preferred method for the Kingdom Jeji. They have only a couple of dozen and most of those are relics from ages past. Well, that did not take long. Noble son, Dusko Reko, I can confirm that this poison is not one in the arsenal of the Kingdom Jeji. Far too sophisticated.
As I had surmised. Now test against the important neutral powers, including us.
Again, I do not think it will take long. Most neutrals purchase their poisons directly from the major powers. I find no evidence that this sample matches any that we know the neutral powers have ever employed.
Now test against the known poisons used by the Empire Shayok.
This may take a while. There are many thousands of kinds of poisons known to have been used by the Empire Shayok.
Please expedite your search as quickly as possible. I do not wish to interview Superior Colonel General Bitwala Sabone until I know with certainty. Superior Colonel General, my team has brought you here because in the present extremely dire situation, I needed to speak directly with you and to obtain truthful answers. Please know that when our interview is over, you will receive a drug that will make you forget this encounter, and you will be released unharmed. You are seated within what we call the box. It is a device to ascertain the truth of your answers to our questions. It will not be painful. It is not torture. Nor is it a mind probe. It is simply a way to distinguish truth from falsehood. How do you feel?
I have been kidnapped and am now shackled, sitting in this unusual contraption. My principal emotions are frustration and anger.
Be assured that this will end shortly. It is imperative that I have factual answers. Let's begin.
Superior Colonel General, please explain why your military detachment has been deployed to Lel.
As you may know, several generations ago, before the current stasis between the principal military powers, the Empire Shah Yot leased access from the civic authorities of Lel for a quick strike, forward attack base. The Empire did so because the Kingdom Jeji had already established its own forward attack base in a proximal sector. Now, after the stasis, the posting to Lel is viewed as a very desirable one. Generally, it is reserved only for senior members of the Emperor's Supreme Military Council. Typically, it's a posting before maturation. It is viewed as a special reward.
Maturation?
You might use the term retirement. However, in the Empire, maturation is more than a simple cessation of a life's work. It is rather an elevation to the pantheon of the most revered warriors. It is an award given personally, by the Emperor, in a very elaborate ceremony. Holders of this position are always greeted with the title Hallowed One.
Was the Supreme Vice Commander for Infantry Operations scheduled for maturation?
Yes, most certainly.
Was your detachment involved in gathering intelligence?
No. We were a military detachment, training for whatever actions may be necessary against the Empire's real and potential enemies. There were various intelligence gathering operations on Lel, but they did not involve us. We were purely military.
Superior Colonel General, how did you first learn of the murder of the Supreme Vice Commander?
Police Commissioner Madame Rashan contacted me on my personal communication device. I was in my personal quarters, preparing for my evening meditations.
Do you know what time that was?
23 hours, 17 minutes, 46 sectants, MZB.
Very precise answer. What had you done earlier in the evening?
I played Mizo with several of my officer colleagues.
Is that a regular activity? Did you win?
We play regularly on the same evenings. And, yes, I won a few coins. We only play for small stakes.
When the police commissioner, Madame Rashan, contacted you, what did she say had happened to the Supreme Vice Commander?
She said that the Supreme Vice Commander had been murdered by a pair of Kupsi girls at an entertainment establishment of a known spy. One operated by the Dominion of Sasko.
If you remember them, we would appreciate knowing her exact words.
I remember, regret to inform you that the military officer, the Supreme Vice Commander, had been murdered by a pair of Kupsi girl twins.
Any mention of poison in the call from Police Commissioner, Madame Rashan?
Not that I remember. I learned about the poison later from other police officers. One of them used the word sourced. Sourced. A most unfortunate word choice.
After she had notified you, what did you do next?
I contacted my superiors in my home world.
Thus, triggering the evocation of war.
I assume so.
Just to confirm your response. Before the police commissioner's call, you knew nothing about the vice commander's murder?
That is correct. I knew nothing about the events.
I must ask for a clear and concise response. Were you, in any way, involved in this murder? Planning it? Ensuring that the vice commander was alone, without an entourage? In any way?
From the color of the display, Rareco could immediately determine that the Superior Colonel General, Bitwala Sabone, was telling the truth. Still, deception was possible. The probing questions elicited no evidence of deception. Rareco concluded that Bitwala Sabone was not a participant in the murder.
Changing the focus. Superior Colonel General, before this dreadful murder, had you ever heard of the Crystalline Pavilion?
Yes. It was a well-known pleasure palace operated by the Dominion of Sasko for purposes of espionage. We had been briefed to not visit there. Far too many opportunities for compromise and blackmail.
Was it a place that you had ever visited?
Certainly not. I repeat, we had been expressly warned.
Before the night of his murder, do you know whether the Vice Commander had ever visited it?
I can assure you that he never visited the establishment. He was a devoted officer of the Empire. He would do nothing to bring harm to it.
Did you know about his trip to the Crystalline Pavilion?
I knew that earlier he had received a private call from one of his closest friends. After that call, he told me to cancel his previously scheduled social activities, saying that he had a personal task to complete.
And what were those previously scheduled social activities?
He was scheduled to attend the theater with three of his current wives. It was an anniversary event.
So, He cancelled an anniversary celebration to go instead to the Crystalline Pavilion, alone?
Yes, I believe that is true.
What has the police commissioner told you about the poison used in the murder?
She told me that the municipal authorities do not have the capacity to analyze the poison. She told me that she would release it to the Empire Shah Yot for its own analysis. I requested that a team come to Lel and transport it back to the home world for study.
We have, in fact, acquired a sample of that poison directly from the original canister. We have done extensive analysis of it. What do you believe that we have found?
Before the start of this uncomfortable interview, it was my personal belief that it had been crafted in the dominion of Sasko.
Do you believe that Sasko can craft such a poison?
You are a very crafty people.
I appreciate your humor, Superior Colonel General. You are indeed a most worthy adversary. However, our detailed analysis showed that to produce this particular poison, the chemists needed 47 separate and very complex steps. Sasko has some capabilities, but none sophisticated enough to manufacture this particular poison. We are not so crafty.
Superior Colonel General, our analysis showed that this particular poison was custom designed to kill a male of Shah Yot heritage. It would not work on females who are of Shah Yot heritage. Nor would it work on other species. A most unique and specific poison. Utterly useless against the enemies of the Empire.
My friend, Bitwala, this poison was grown in a quadrant controlled by the Empire on a farm managed directly by the intelligence services of the Empire Shah Yot.
We have also analyzed the images of the two purported Kupsi twins who carried out the murder. We have identified them as operational agents from the intelligence services of the Empire. These images show how their disguises were created. We now believe that they used the dwelling of the former arena manager to prepare for the murder. His dwelling was scrubbed spotless clean just before he was murdered.
My friend, Bitwala. It is time for the truth. The real truth. The truth that you have been working so hard not to think about. To suppress. My friend, you know this is not about Sasko. It is, rather, about what is happening within the Empire. My friend, Bitwala, you are from one of the oldest and most honored military families in the Empire. I believe that you now know what happened. You know who and why the Supreme Vice Commander was murdered. It is not about Sasko. It is, as I said, about what is happening in the Empire. Who called the Supreme Vice Commander?
Superior Major General Shion Batno, the Supreme Vice Commander's close childhood friend.
And what does that mean?
Superior Major General Shion Batno. Lord. Lord. The Supreme Vice Commander. To his death.
Why would he do it?
Marchand.
Marchand? I have never heard of that individual.
Marchand is a nickname. You would know him as Third Level Crown Prince Jinan. He has very close ties to the intelligence services. He is an avowed militarist. Seeks to return the Empire Shah Yot back to its military greatness. Detests the current stasis between the major powers. Few outside the royal court know that the current emperor is very ill and may be soon approaching death. Marchand seeks to eliminate the other, higher-ranking princes and have himself declared emperor.
How was the Supreme Vice Commander for Infantry Operations, Yozin Bat Butulzin, your boss, involved?
He was part of a group of officers who opposed Marchand. He believed that his childhood friend, Superior Major General Shion Batna, was also a part of the group. Now we see otherwise. A terrible deception.
Thus, it was easy to persuade him to forego his anniversary celebration, and to go to the Crystalline Pavilion instead.
My friend, Bithwala. Earlier I had said that we would give you a drug that will make you forget everything about our conversation. After talking with you, I have decided not to give you the drug. Rather, I want you to remember every word of this conversation. Forget nothing. I am releasing you. You are free to go wherever you choose and to do whatever you believe necessary. I wish you well.
It did not arise in the conversation with the Colonel General, but we all know why Marchand chose to involve the Dominion of Sasko.
Yes, Marchand seeks both to be Emperor and to also control the known supply of MBY-23.
You may remember, Sasko controlled the known deposits of MBY-23, a necessary component to the process of creating something out of what historically was regarded as nothingness. MBY-23 was an exceedingly valuable commodity. Not only was it functionally critical, but also its presence was highly localized. Through fortuitous action and considerable chicanery, the small kingdom of Sasko came to control the known deposits of MBY-23. Thus, becoming an ongoing target of various intrigues.
My friends. We now have the truth. We can do nothing further. If there is to be a war of annihilation for our beloved Dominion, I wish to spend my remaining hours on the soil of my homeland. Let's go home.
Wendushko Rareko, the second son of the 19th great nobleman of Sasko, was a child. He had a relative who was an illusionist. Until he was old enough to understand how such illusions are created, Rareko believed in the possibility of magic. A few magic words and something wholly unexpected happens. One never knows how it happened, but eyes don't lie. A piece of cloth becomes a bird that flies away. I saw it. My eyes don't lie. When he grew older, he came to realize that what you can actually see is far less important than what you cannot. We see the results of many hidden machinations. Not seeing what devices lay behind the screen, we call it magic. So was when the 19th great nobleman called his son into his private study and quietly announced that the Empire Shayote has rescinded its evocation of war against Sasko. The great nobleman warmly hugged his son and said, "My son, you have worked magic. No other way to describe what has happened." In his more pensive moments, Dushko Rareko had a more complicated explanation. It had to do with the sense of honor carved into every officer of the Empire's military. Honor is more than money, or power, or pleasure, or personal gain. One always chooses death before dishonor. For the old military families of the Empire Shayote, it runs even deeper. When one's family extends back many, many generations, it becomes not just a matter of personal honor, but more importantly, a matter of family honor, and unbreakable obligation. It was family honor, duty, Dushko Rareko believed, that motivated Superior Colonel General Bitwala Sabone to do what he did. Although Rareko was never certain what specific actions the Colonel General took, he could, nonetheless, see the results. The third-level Crown Prince Seinan, whose nickname was Marshan, was publicly executed. When the elderly emperor died, a lesser-known Crown Prince of the first level was crowned in his place. Within days of the coronation of the new emperor, the evocation of war against Sasko was rescinded. At the same time, formal diplomatic relations were re-established between the Empire Shayote and the Kingdom JG. The stasis between the major powers continued. And, of course, the Dominion of Sasko resumed making its vast fortunes, because of its sole control of the all-important MBY-23.
Noble Lady Bromley, welcome home, beloved cousin. I hope you find peace, relaxation, and comfort after your difficult confinement.
I'm just glad there is still a Sasko to return home to.
As am I, noble lady.
Luscious Lel by the ever lovely lake.
Luscious Lel by the ever lovely lake. Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Luscious Lel by the ever lovely lake.
Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Luscious Lel by the ever lovely lake. Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Satisfying your every pleasure is our only business.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Michael Brandt, without whose invaluable assistance this audio story would not have been possible.
Appaloosa Springs Audio Theater is a creative collaboration whose purpose is to write, produce, and share original story content through webcast radio experiences.